There's a great organization in Ely, Minnesota that tells the story of the canoe and its relationship to the boundary waters, the state of Minnesota, and beyond. From the earliest birch bark craft to the most recent designs, the Minnesota Canoe Museum has a story to tell. They're a small nonprofit with plans to move into their own dedicated space in Ely this summer. You can learn more and support their new museum space today. Go to mncanoemuseum.org.
Welcome to episode 4 of the Paddle and Portage podcast. This is M. Baxley.
I'm Joe Fredericks. I got to tell you a quick story before we get into the episode or even talk about anything related to the episode.
Please do.
I'm coming back from Duluth and driving to Grand Marais. There's this snowfall that came down in the late part of winter this year after like no snow all winter. So it's just this beautiful drive, sunny drive, snow in the ditches in the woods. This snowshoe hare, white, but a little bit of brown, but mostly white, comes darting onto the highway. I'm going, you know, 60 miles an hour, the speed limit, I point out. And, oh, shoot, you know, it's in the other lane. It's going to come right at me. Stops. It stops. Turns around. Goes back to where it came from. I look in the rearview mirror just to make sure that it's safe. As I look back there, this bald eagle swooping down into the ditch and grabs the hare. Then it tried to fly away and it had the hare and it was too heavy and it was like, well, anyway, it got the hare. And what a powerful scene it was.
It's as real as it gets. Day in the life in the canoe country up here. It's real deal stuff, but that snowshoe hare's life is not on your guilty conscience, Joe Fredericks. Just simply the circle of life.
Right. And, you know, how would it have been different if I'd hit it and then something? Like that same eagle would have probably got it either way. Just like, just made me think about a lot of stuff for some reason seeing that.
Well, you never really know what's going to happen. Just like you never knew that when you ran into some fellas on a winter camping trip in the Boundary Waters, you had no idea that they would be the content of episode 4.
That's right. Last winter, in March 2023, before I saw him in the Boundary Waters, I bump into this group out at Stone Harbor here in town in Grand Marais. It's a outdoor shop, Stone Harbor Wilderness Supply, and there's these three guys in there. They were getting some gear, last-minute gear, clearly going on a camping trip. Ended up being they were going to the same lake I was going to. And I'm all thinking, you know, even though it's a lot of these lakes are big in the Boundary Waters, wait, that's where I'm going to be fishing. So I got all territorial about the thing. Like, well, yeah, you know, very vague on where I was going. No details on my approach for fishing and so forth. But nonetheless, I saw these people out there, these three guys, the next day. They came after our group had gotten out there. And their recollection of that was, thanks for breaking trail! Because, you know, there was a fair amount of snow last winter. And struck up a pleasant conversation, got in, exchanged numbers and stuff. Like, hey, you know, we make this podcast about the Boundary Waters and check it out. I mean, that's basically what it was, because all they, I knew of them was they were going on this camping trip. Well, afterward, learned that they go on this trip every year, and then it just kept unfolding from there.
This episode isn't just about a group that heads into a winter camping trip every year, or even a trip report, although all those things weave into today's story. But it's also about the loss of a friend and a mentor. So just beware that this episode today has some tender subjects, and it could bring up some stuff for folks. So keep that in mind as you come along in the journey with us today.
That's right. And now that we're a few months into this paddle and portage journey that we're all on together, I wanted to take a moment to hear from someone, share a story from someone who's been enjoying the podcast, Paddle and Portage podcast, and our work prior to that as well. and has now been reading the content in the magazine as well. So one of what I guess we'll describe as a fan of Paddle and Portage.
Hello, this is Josh Dix. I live in Grand Marais. I'm a friend of Paddle and Portage. I've been listening to Joe and Matthew on their podcast since the beginning. I remember when I still lived in the cities then, and kind of used it as my escape back to the Boundary Waters. I would listen to it while I was at work or in traffic and just dreaming of loons on lakes and campfires. And now I've since moved to Grand Marais, and I get to see that a lot more often, and still listen to the podcast every time it comes out, I think back to monthly. But what's really cool now is reading the online magazine. I don't think I've ever subscribed to an online magazine before, but I, of course, jumped right on board with Paddle and Portage, and I've really been enjoying it. Every time it comes out, that whatever Saturday immediately afterwards, I kind of set up my laptop and sit by the wood stove and read through it, and it's more interactive than I guess I would have ever imagined a magazine could be. I love the videos that you can click on, and they're built right into the magazine. I've enjoyed the articles, of course. Winter camping is one of my favorite things right now, and that was featured in the most recent magazine. And so I think you should check it out if you haven't. You know, I think e-magazines are kind of a new thing that maybe not a lot of people know a lot about, but it's pretty darn cool, and I think if you take a look, you'll agree and really enjoy it too.
Thanks, Josh Dix.
The great Josh Dix.
Appreciate all your support. Let's get into today's episode.
Friendship is an often overlooked component that brings people to the Boundary Waters. So often we're quick to reference solitude, the natural beauty, the means to get away from the day-to-day grind of it all, and other factors that bring people to the BWCA in Quetico Provincial Park. Three friends who come to the Boundary Waters every year for an extended winter camping trip are quick to reference some of these same common threads, but they also know that it runs deeper than that.
Hi, I'm Chad Roy. Well, for me, it's the quiet. Listening to the wind and the pines, listening to the water. It's all kind of encompasses you and becomes part of you. And you can't get that in a pub. If you're living your daily life, you're not really aware of like the chatter in your mind, like the thoughts in your head. But then if you're the contrast between the inner dialogue going on in your head and the quiet, it's, you know, you're more aware of each individual thought, and you kind of like, you're like, oh, that's what I'm feeling. Oh, that's what I'm thinking. It's more easily accessible. I've lost a few people in my life, and going to the Boundary Waters after and having moments of quiet with yourself, I mean, it really, it's introspective. It really helps you kind of, you know, in the busyness of life, you don't really feel it in the same way. But then if you get out there by yourself in the wilderness and the quiet, and it all surfaces, and it all just, it hits you, but in a good way.
Chad, along with his friends Mike Larson and Glenn Bruckman, traveled deep into the interior of the BWCA every winter. In late February and into early March 2024, they started their annual winter adventure on West Bearskin Lake, crossing the Wilderness Line as they schlepped over the portage to Duncan Lake in the Mid-Gunflint Trail area. They spent the next 6 days traveling a collection of border lakes, including Rose and Mountain, moving down toward Canoe Lake, and then back out at Daniels nearly a week later. They recorded some of their adventure along the way.
Hey, this is Mike.
And Glenn.
And Chad.
And we're setting off here at Bearskin on a nice sunny morning, about 11 o'clock, little breeze, and I'm happy to see that there's snow covered in the lake, so get to bring the skis on this trip. All right, here we go.
Let's do it.
Woo-hoo.
Just finished the portage, Stairway Portage into Rose Lake here. Sun is shining, nice little breeze. They did a great job on the stairway there with the stone. Yeah, sun is shining. We're gonna head east of here, and probably set up camp kind of early today.
All right, this is Glenn here. We made it down to Rose Lake through Stairway Portage. Was able to actually pull my sled down, which was a little precarious down the stairway, but definitely will never forget that, that's for sure. But happy to be down on the lake here, and just what a view. It just incredible. First time on the lake, and gosh, just blown away. This place is just beautiful.
Yeah,
love your style, dude.
Yeah, love your style.
Yeah.
Just hit the portage from mountain into Clearwater. A little rocky along the way, especially coming down into Clearwater the last, I don't know, 50, 100 feet. A little, yeah, zero snow, let's put it that way. But
yeah, that 80% coverage on the trail, I would say, maybe a little less.
Yeah. A few scratches in the sleds, but it's nice we could do it in one.
Yeah. Saves a lot of time. Fun going. It's always fun going across the border route trail up there and seeing all the pines. That was kind of cool. It was a little highlight up top.
Yeah, might have to come back and through hike that border route trail.
Mm-hmm. That'd be nice. Seeds planted. No.
Yeah.
Mike and Glenn have been going on these winter trips to the Boundary Waters every year since 2019. They've been friends for most of their lives, dating back to their childhood growing up in Buffalo, Minnesota. That's a small town about 45 miles northwest of Minneapolis. They've been coming to the Boundary Waters since they were kids, always in the summertime back then, until a memorable trip in 2019 brought them north in the depths of winter. And when they arrived, it was cold. Damn cold.
Yeah, well, Ely, it started out... Well, I mean, the truck was dead. We couldn't get the truck started to get to the drop point.
Yeah.
And I think we saw at the bank there, the digital readout, it was like maybe 28 below or something like that.
Yeah. Fortunately, you know, the 10-day forecasts are pretty accurate, you know, these days. So we re-upped, like we each got new ski boots, and we just re-upped on cold weather gear. Glenn and I and John McCarthy and my cousin Jack Hayes, it was his first winter camping trip. But yeah, we spent a full 7 nights out there, and I think we had 3 nights that were more than 40 below. Keck, the coldest night we were camped off of Kekakavik. That night was cold.
It felt we were in the eye of the storm there. I think you and I were huddled in front of the fire trying to dry gear, which is, that wasn't happening.
Yeah, Andy at Tuscarora said he had 46 that night, and off Keck we were thinking it might have been a little cooler.
But, dude, that's intense.
It was.
And not hot tenting? Like, you don't do that. Huh?
No.
How did you even get through that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a combination. I think I had a 40 below bag, and then I also had like maybe a 20 degree bag to put inside of that, and then also a vapor barrier.
We haven't been able to get too many people like to join us, because whenever we ask them if they want to go on a trip, they're thinking, you know,
it's gonna be 50 below.
It's gonna be 50 below.
This episode brought to you by Sawtooth Outfitters, conveniently located on Highway 61 in Tofty. Whether it's your first trip or you're an experienced voyager, they're here to outfit you with the right gear and knowledge to ensure an unforgettable trip. From their ultralight canoe rentals to their outdoor gear store, stocked with clothing, maps, souvenirs, everything you need to be covered. It's not too late to plan a trip. Check out sawtoothoutfitters.com or give them a call to start planning today. And support for Paddle and Portage comes from Ely Outfitting Company. Located in downtown Ely, their friendly and knowledgeable team shares expert Boundary Waters trip planning and routing advice. Ely Outfitting Company offers complete outfitting services, lightweight canoe rentals, and professionally guided tours. Now booking 2024 canoe trips. Plan your Boundary Waters trip now at elyoutfittingcompany.com. Successful Boundary Waters canoe trips start with Ely Outfitting Company.
And this episode of the Paddle and Portage podcast is brought to you by Tuscarora Lodge and Canoe Outfitters. Located on Round Lake, Tuscarora is a full-service Boundary Waters outfitter serving Gunflint Trail entry points. They're now booking 2024 canoe trips and cabins. You can check them out online at TuscaroraCanoe.com or find them on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Tuscarora Canoe. These winter trips to the Boundary Waters for this group aren't always great, or at least it's a different kind of great, certainly in comparison to an enchanting canoe trip to the BWCA in September. During that first trip in the winter back in 2019, the group, which included Mike and Glenn along with their friends John McCarthy and Jack Hayes, learned how dangerous winter travel can be, and that it's not just about the cold, it's about the ice and water.
Yeah, it was day two, and we didn't make it real far on that first day. Vehicle problems and everything like that. And McCarthy was kind of charging ahead. And this is, this is kind of getting to be late afternoon. And this was end of January. And so he was quite a ways up there, maybe like 300 or 400 yards. And all of a sudden I thought I saw him. Were you in front of me?
I was right. I was behind him.
Yeah, and all of a sudden it looked like he kind of dropped down a little bit, and all of a sudden saw him again, and then you saw him drop down into the ice, and he was up to his waist, and it's probably 30 below at that time, and it's sunset's coming on.
Yeah. Wow. What happened? Did he go through? Or?
Yeah. So I charged up there right away, and I kind of yelled back to the guys. I'm like, grab a sleeping bag, grab spare clothes, grab, a few things. And I ran up there, and he was already out, like, getting stripped down and, like, pulling stuff out of his bag. Mm-hmm. So he was – but still, I think his core temperature was really low at that point.
Yeah.
So at that point in time, we decided to kind of backtrack and go back to a safe spot and then get a fire going, which we found a pretty sweet spot, a huge boulder behind us.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a heat reflector. And then got a fire going, and we just huddled around that fire.
Yeah.
And it felt like he was kind of trying to doze off every now and again. Mm-hmm. And trying McCarthy.
Yeah.
Try to keep him awake and stuff. And I don't know how serious. I think it would.
Yeah. Yeah, we had an in-reach device at that time, but our fingers weren't hovering over the button or anything, but it was really nice to have that. And I think it was like sometime the next day, like in the evening, he's like, well, I think I'm starting to warm up.
And so, what happened on the ice? Why did it
well it was just between two good sized lakes, and the ice was so thin, and you think it's 40 below. We didn't know better.
Yeah. There was
flow between the lakes. Yeah. And there's only maybe an inch or two ice.
And did he hit the bottom, or why did he stop at his waist?
He didn't touch the bottom, but he was able to spring himself back out.
Mm-hmm.
I think for some reason he popped his skis off, right? That was the ultimate demise.
I think,
He was stopping to come back and, like, see where we were at or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as he stepped foot, I think, off his skis, that... And that's amazing, the amount of flotation you get on your skis. Like, you can a lot more surface area and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're in downtown Grand Marais today, right on the shore of Lake Superior downtown here. Let's go into the bookstore, Drury Lane Books, see what's going on in here.
Hello.
Gwen.
Oh, it's the Paddle and Portage Podcast. Welcome to the bookstore. Yeah, I'm Gwen, manager here at Drury Lane Books. We're standing in the novels section right now in the front part of our little cottage building. We've been here for over 20 years, founded by author, feminist, philanthropist Joan Drury back in 2002. We carry all new books, a little bit of everything. We've got mystery, crime, and thriller. We've got science fiction and fantasy, poetry, current events, and then we actually have a separate section for Minnesota focus, because so many visitors and residents love to read about our area. So right here, Minnesota nonfiction, that's history, outdoor stories, and in fact, a book that you might recognize, Joe, Last Entry Point, Stories of Danger and Death in the Boundary Waters by Joe Fredericks, just came out. It's right here next to Kerry Griffith's new book about Gunflint Falling, The Blowdown in the Boundary Waters, next to Justine Kerfoot's writing about the Boundary Waters and the Gunflint Trail. section of shipwreck stories is very popular. We've got a lot of kids' books, and we also have Minnesota fiction. William Kent Kruger, Joan Drury herself published some books, field guides about the area. So there's a little bit of everything. Of course, cookbooks, nature writing, creative nonfiction, spirituality. And we can order books, too. We're open every day, year-round. You can go on our website, drurylanebooks.com, or stop by the store.
I love this bookstore.
Why, thank you. Thanks for stopping by. We're happy to be a sponsor of this episode of Paddle and Portage.
Yeah, so that next day, we ended up getting a little throw line system and to get all our sleds through there because the banks were pretty steep. But we were able to, like, get this throw line out, and we would tie off a sled and heave it way out into the thin ice and then pull it around this all these boulders, and then we got all the sleds around, and then we were bushwhacking till we got to save ice, but it probably took us 4 hours to go 400 yards, and then that night we hit the Kekakabik and camped there.
That was a goal.
Puts in perspective, then I know that next day I was like hitting the ice every time, you know, like thinking it's thin everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
But you just don't picture that in your mind when it's 40 below or 30 below. Yeah. It's like, I mean, the ice has got to be safe, right? Yeah. But there was quite a few spots where we saw plenty of open water.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Despite terrifying situations like this, the group keeps coming back. And it's because of the magic the Boundary Waters holds, they say. And that magic is richer for this group in the winter. It's also a place for processing, even topics that go beyond general reflection of the day-to-day of life. It's a place to process death and deep loss. 2 years ago, the group's dear friend, Tim Lee, passed away. Tim was there when Mike and Glenn first started coming to the Boundary Waters as youngsters. Those were family trips in canoes. Tim was older than them by a few years, but he was included in those family adventures, most of which took place on East Pike Lake on the eastern side of the BWCA.
So his dad, Alan, and his buddy, Virgil, our other friend's dad, they would take us rambunctious high school kids out there, we'd go out there for a week, and right after school kind of got out, mid-June, and they'd always tell us, okay, now Alan would always say, okay, boys, now no alcohol, and just like, oh no, we got some older brother to buy us.
We'd always stay at the furthest eastern site, and I think they were kind of that southern shore, the middle of the lake or whatever.
Yeah. But, and then Tim and his buddy, he called baseball, they'd always come over in evenings, and then we'd party together, but they would stay over with the folks over there. We just heard Boundary Waters, and we just trusted his dad and him to bring us up.
Last year, in March 2023, the group returned to East Pike Lake. They spent a few days at the same campsite where, as youngsters, they grew up in the Boundary Waters, with Tim often visiting them at their campsite. It was the first time they'd returned to East Pike and that site since Tim's passing.
I think we all kind of firmly believe that it's the best place to go check in with all your processing things. And just being in the beauty of nature, with spirits and animals and everything around, that's the best way for me to like connect with myself and those that we love,
Yeah, it was nice at that site. Maybe we thought of things that we wouldn't have thought of before if we wouldn't have been there,
We
were talking about, you remember the time, remember the time when we flipped a canoe out there late at night, yada yada, and stuff like that.
Yeah, when Tim comes over and is like, you guys are being really loud tonight. All right, give me a beer.
But it's just a nice place to, especially with
Let It Go.
With us, just talk about everything.
Yeah.
And just like
open
get
up.
It out of your system.
There's no secrets, Shared tears, laughter,
for sure.
Memories.
Good. Tim never made a winter trip to the Boundary Waters with the boys. He moved out to Arizona before they started. Out west, he got into rafting and rock climbing. He built a dory boat and paddled the Grand Canyon. Eventually, he moved to Washington State, living in Snoqualmie and in the Cascade Mountains. He was 45 years old when he died unexpectedly. Though he never made a winter trip to the Boundary Waters, he's with Chad, Mike, and Glenn every year, they say, including this year as they reflected on him on their winter trek across the wilderness.
Yeah, we're sitting here in the most beautiful spot and thinking of our good friend Tim Lee that passed. He passed away May of 2022. Unexpectedly and way before his time. But can feel Tim's spirit up here in the North Woods, and you know, he taught me that there's no guarantees in life. The time we have with those we love. And he's kind of inspired me to live a life of adventure and happiness. And I wish his spirit a great, great journey into the great beyond, and we'll always be thinking of Tim.
Such an open, like, kind soul. Yeah.
Tim was a great storyteller. I always admired his way to... And he had so many adventures that he'd been on. You know, rafting, yeah, and rock climbing, and just that look in his eye when he'd be telling the story is just incredible. I miss those stories. We've got a lot of stories we can reconnect and think about him. Yeah. You're saying you felt safe?
Yeah. It just seemed like, you know, whenever you're on adventure with him, like, you kind of felt invincible. Like, he was, everything was going to be, you know, everything was going to be just fine.
Yep, he was like a big, big brother that...
Yeah,
he always make sure.
That giant smile. Yeah, giant smile. Just look at you like, all right. Or if you're questioning doing something, he would be just, yeah, let's do it.
Time to send it.
Yeah. Good sense of humor, too. Always made me laugh. Oh, yeah. Just like the random stuff that came out of his mouth.
Just a lovely soul all around. Good father, good man. Good brother, good son, good to everyone.
For Chad, Mike, and Glenn, there's more to these winter trips than just the challenge of embarking on a winter expedition. It's not just about solitude or getting away from the grind or traffic jams on the way to work. It's about sharing space and connecting to people through the winter landscape.
It's all earned.
Mm-hmm.
No wrinkle, each missing hair, each limp in your step, or whatever. You know.
Each callus.
That's right. Yeah. It's all earned.
Is your hair, Mike? Jesus.
Probably. Yeah. A little long one?
A little long. Oh, there he is.
Maybe somebody hopped the fence the other day, last night they came back.
Yeah.
A couple more hairs.
Uh-huh.
Hopped the fucking ridge.
Yeah, well, it feels like we're... Finality of our week-long trip and ending, as you said, Chad, ending in stride.
Ending
you
in
know,
stride.
I feel like, if we...
Strong.
If Bree and Carolyn and Oliver the cat would allow it, we'd stay out here another week, for sure, a little resupply. But, boy, it sure has been great travel conditions.
Yeah. Extremes of weather. You know, we had, 35 below wind chill. Today we're sitting in the sun. And yeah. It feels like it's 60 degrees almost. Yep.
Gosh. Pretty nice, yeah. Yeah. Good ice, really, all yeah. over the place.
Yeah, that's something we didn't really talk about yet, but I don't think we've seen less than like 16, 18 inches
yeah.
of ice yeah. the entire time.
Just as solid. Little spots where creeks are feeding the lakes, yeah. you know, that's about it.
I think we've seen even more open water on the vortex like that trip than,
yeah.
than this trip.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Lack mm-hmm. of snow cover this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and like the in the ice, just here in the ice every night. I every mean there's night. not a breath's worth of silence, like and I think maybe Chad you said it's probably the lack of snow. Usually you got a bunch of snow on the lake and but the lakes have been very vocal all the time. The ice moving, shifting, yeah. Sounds, always changing.
Yeah. Always changing. Sounds like a bunch of whales underneath there just talking back.
I know, so, yeah. So cool. It's so great. Kind of
peaceful. Each lake yep. has its own like it does. Like tone and like body to mm-hmm. it too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Well, fantastic trip and hopefully one, you know, year five and hopefully many more.
Oh yeah,
yeah. After seeing some of these new lakes, it kind of sparks a fire too. Like, oh, I wonder if I took a left here.
yeah,
try some, that port.
There's yeah. always yep. There's a lot more. A
lot to explore.
Right. Yeah. yeah. There's zero distractions out yeah. there. You know, you just can think a lot clearer. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah. And kind of listening to the quiet too, and stepping out on the lake away from your little fire at night, and looking up at the stars, and you know, you see a shooting star, and you know,
yeah,
you know, it sends you a sign, and kind of like in something about kind of moving through the boundary waters too. It feels like you're kind of moving through your life, and you're processing the things that you encounter, and you're able to work through them.
You're moving through your own emotions in physical space. Mm-hmm. You know, like this lake, you're feeling this portage, you're feeling this, and you just, like you're moving through your grief in a physical world, mm-hmm. you know, and yeah, it's just a wonderful experience.
Thing that we lose the ones we love. We're either the ones that get lost or the ones that are left to grieve. It's especially powerful when those folks have left a deep and lasting impact on our lives, especially around a place. These storytellers today, their life is forever made better by Tim. I hope that it helps everybody listening remember the Tim in their own lives.
That's the beauty of the Boundary Waters and this ability that the podcast provides for the paddling community, people who go to the Boundary Waters, is to share these types of stories, because a lot of our mentors, people who've impacted us in life, are associated with other things. It could be, you know, like a church or a job or a national park somewhere out west. But for our purposes here on the podcast, it's the Boundary Waters. And for this group, that was Tim's early encounters with them on East Pike Lake and the Boundary Waters, where Tim was a little bit older, and so he was at the adult camp. But he came over to the rowdy youth camp, and he was kind of in both worlds. And so they're associating, like, the stories that they shared with me about Tim that didn't make it to the episode are connected to the Boundary Waters. Like, those memories really are powerful and connected to the place. And that's such a beautiful thing that we get to share that in the podcast. I mean, that's what we created this for. Certainly that's what it's become, at the very least.
Absolutely. And on that note, thanks to all you, our listeners, for coming along with us on these stories. Keep sending your emails, sharing your stories with us. That's what this is all about. And keep coming along on the journey. It's good to have you.
This is our first episode since Canoe Copia, and so quick shout out to everybody that came up and said hi to us at the booth. It was a busy, busy scene. Thanks also to the people who attended our presentation. We had some emotion there that was shared in front of a large group of people, and all the folks that came up to the booth after the presentation too, and that whole weekend. Thank you for everyone there. And as you said, just the people who've been on this journey and are here with us at Paddle and Portage. It's so great to see these numbers of people listening and all over the country. We're now coming out of the winter, so some of the mood's going to change around the storytelling that we're doing, and we've got some very exciting things, some very real things, and some we don't know how you're going to react things coming up soon, too.
Well, those are your favorite, aren't they?
I'm plotting.
Joe Frederick's full of surprises. Give me that maniacal Joe Frederick's laugh.
You're going to like this one.
I just sing when I paddle canoe, feeling not thinking if the strokes are true. We're going to get through to the other side. Out in the night, the waves beat the shore. You can hear them pound and you can hear them roar. Oh, roll me, rock me in my dreams. You can roll me, rock me in my dreams. So I like to sing, I love to dance. I play the fool if I got the chance. All around the campfire light. All around campfire light, all round, all round, all round the campfire light.